Many are wondering if a deadly rampage in Santa Barbara last weekend could have been prevented, since the young shooter, Elliot Roger, was showing signs of mental health problems. It's a difficult question that's come up after other mass shootings. Like many states, California has a law to mandate mental health care for people who've been refusing it. But as NPR's Kirk Sigler reports, local officials have been slow to adopt it.
The story behind Laura's Law, as it's known here, begins in 2001. In rural Nevada County near Lake Tahoe, 19-year-old Laura Wilcox was shot and killed by a 41-year-old man with a history of mental illness. Tom Anderson was the county's chief public defender at the time and represented the gunman in court. He recalls that the man's family had tried to alert mental health officials numerous times before the shooting.
You know, they were claiming privacy issues and stuff and wouldn't communicate with the family. He was started amassing guns and setting up booby traps around his house, and he had this psychosis of going to be attacked any minute.
Anderson is now Nevada County's presiding judge. He's also a vocal advocate for Laura's Law. It was passed by the state legislature in 2002. It allows counties to compel outpatient treatment for people whose family or other acquaintances are concerned about their mental state. It's seen as an intermediate step before someone is forced into inpatient psychiatric care. Anderson says it could be one tool to prevent future violent incidents, including mass shootings. And the patients, they often respond positively.
The beauty of the program, the wonderment of it to me, is that roughly about 60% of the people that they do outreach to, where they go out to intervene after the person's been referred, voluntarily accept services at that time.
But implementation of Laura's Law is left to the counties, and so far only two, Nevada County and Orange County, have gone forward. The state hasn't allocated any specific funding to it, and it's controversial. The mental health community is divided. There are concerns that involuntary treatment could make mentally ill people vulnerable to civil rights abuses.
You do have to be conscious that even though these people are mentally ill, they do have rights.
Steve Pittman is the president of the Orange County chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Pittman, whose brother battled mental illness for 50 years, says family members need more power to intervene and force treatment. He says they're the ones who often know what's really going on, while police or a county mental health official may only have just a few minutes to drop by for a welfare check.
The problem in so many of these cases is that when they're interviewed to see if they meet those kind of threshold requirements, they don't give off any signals of being a danger to themselves or others. And somebody who's experienced in these kind of things knows all the right answers to give. They don't want to go to the hospital, and so they say all the right things.
That scenario echoes Elliot Rogers' alleged behavior prior to the Santa Barbara incident. But experts, Pittman included, are cautious about linking reforms like Laura's Law too closely to recent mass shootings. For one thing, they say, intervention cases that fall under Laura's Law may take weeks, if not months, to fully implement. And that may be too late.
I simply don't think that involuntary commitments are going to be an effective tool for stemming mass shootings.
Jeff Deeney is a social worker in Philadelphia who also writes about mental health for the Atlantic Monthly. He says just a tiny fraction of mentally unstable people are a threat to public safety.
I think what we don't have that people want so desperately is the program that stops non-violent non-offenders from committing their first violent crime because of a mental illness.
Deeney wants to see the conversation shift away from involuntary treatment programs and toward preventative measures that are starting to happen at high schools and college campuses. Kirk Sigler, NPR News.